Let's look at the Word of God this morning. Let's open our Bibles. Probably in the Old Testament, about halfway in the middle there, we're going to go to the book of Proverbs. What a wonderful book. So Proverbs chapter 25 is where we're going to land for a little while. Just welcome those that just joined us online. Good to see you guys. Last week, I spoke on eager to do good, and I felt excited about it. I don't know, hopefully somebody resonated with that message. It just really spoke to me, and I just really felt like God wasn't actually done with that message. And so I told God earlier this year, as funny as this is, I always say, God, I don't do series. And like this is my second series almost this year. I'm like, okay, God, I guess we're doing a little bit of series here. And this will probably happen one day. I'm really looking forward to that day. I don't know if you will be, but where God's just going to say, just keep going on that theme, and when you're done, then stop. And who knows how long that could take, but that would be okay because you're comfortable, right? And you'll be okay with that. Maybe we'll do it on a cooler day so it's not so crazy for you. But anyways, let's continue this theme on doing good. It's really exciting. And so let's look at Proverbs chapter 25, verse 22. It says, in doing this, which we'll read about in a second, about doing some good things, you'll heap burning coals on his head and the Lord will reward you. So we should be dumping burning coals on people's heads so that we can be rewarded. And that's what it could look like visually if you're just kind of like that. You know, just like, you know, it's like just light them up in Jesus' name and I'll get rewarded for doing that. Wouldn't that be awesome, right? And so we've got to really flush this out, though, and understand some context because that's a little bit crazy. If, you know, we could just cherry pick a scripture and be like, oh, yeah, and we make a whole theme about it and our church is about just, we got a church about burning coals on people's heads, right? That's how we're going to change the world. And so don't do that, though, because I really don't think that's what God is referring to. Because look in verse 21 here. There's a bit of a theme here. It says, if your enemy, if he's hungry, give him some food to eat. And if he's thirsty, give him some water to drink. And I think that if we're to give our enemy some water and give him some food, and I think that it would be a blessing and we'll be rewarded for that. So that the verses go together. They're not distinctly separate, where if I do good like this, but then I do something which I would think would be evil. Throwing burning coals on somebody's head cannot be a positive experience, like, ouch, for crying out loud. But they actually go together. There's something we need to learn from this piece of scripture. I really want to look at it in depth here. So dumping burning coals on someone's head is a fun idea. But again, it's not referring to that. So what is being said here? What is it being written about? So think about the time that it was written. People would, in their homes, this is how they would heat it. They didn't have old, you know, what we got today. We just kind of hit a thermostat, you know, crank it up. We got some heat coming out of the wall. Back in the day, you know, we had these kind of stoves or these, you know, these places where we would have fire in there. And sometimes a person's fire might go out in the night. And if it's a cold night, you'd be like, I need to start a new fire. So you might go over to your neighbor's house and say, could I have some of your coals that are like roasting hot so I could bring them back to my house so that I could put some kindling on it, start the fire again, warm the place up. Because it wasn't like there was gasoline or like, you know, those fire logs that, you know, crackled and smelled like KFC chicken and all that kind of stuff you can buy. Like, what is going on with this world? But anyways, you know, that's just a little side note there. But like, you would want to borrow some of the coals from the friend. And so we love coals, don't we, as well? Like those little kind of embers, they're nice. It's an even heat. If you ever cook in burgers, you don't want flames on the thing. It's just even coal heat. When you're roasting your marshmallow, you don't want to stick it in fire. That's not good. Nice coals, you know, nice, you know, that kind of browning going on. It's this good environment. It's a good thing, the coals. So this is teaching us so that if our enemy's house fire goes out and they come knocking on your door, instead of dumping coals on their head going, you lazy moron, why did your fire go out? You're so unprepared. You've got issues. If you were more organized, that would have never happened. I don't think that's what God is asking us to do. I think he's asking us to be extremely generous to that person, just like we give them food and water. Give them some coals as well. Be generous to that person. When that person comes and knocks on your door, it's an opportunity to make a friend than continue to have an enemy by being generous to them. Be overly generous to them. Let's put it in today's context because we don't have too many fire. Well, some of us have burning stoves, but we wouldn't come over. Nobody would come over to your house. Can I borrow some coals? Like, not going to happen. What will they come over for? Some eggs. Okay, so if they come over, you know, and they ask for some eggs, would you take the eggs right on their head? Like, you would never do that, right? Unless it was teen camp at the chapel, we'd do that. Those are fun games we do. Coke through a sock, all that kind of great stuff. But you wouldn't take eggs and honk on his head and say, bless you in Jesus' name, I'm getting a reward in heaven, would we, right? Or like, do you have a cup of sugar? Absolutely, I've got a whole bag of sugar, right on their head. Bless you in Jesus' name, close the door, right? Like, you wouldn't do that kind of stuff, would you? You would want to be a blessing to them. You'd want to be generous, and you want to hand it to them in a nice way, not in a way to dump it on their head. So we've got to understand the context of what that says, because it sounds like a lot of fun. I'd love to do that kind of stuff, but there it is. Old Testament, Proverbs, a lot of wisdom there, so we learned something there today. Let's take it to the New Testament, because we'll move to the book of Romans. And Romans, the writer Paul quotes that in Proverbs. So we go to Romans chapter 12, verse 20. It says, on the contrary, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, I think we can all attest to or kind of agree with that there is evil in this world, and we need to overcome it. And how can we combat evil? There's many ways. Here's one way, though. We can overcome it by doing good. We can overcome it by, you know, feeding people, by, you know, helping them if they're thirsty, by being overwhelmingly generous to people. Think of, like, the best thing that you could do for the worst person you know, and then go and do it. That's what it's talking about. You know, this just the generosity would just be overwhelming, that if they came to borrow some coal from you, you would take out all your coal from the stove. You just keep one little one. Make sure your fire's still going because you have a family. But give all the coal away, so much so that it'd just be like an overwhelming blessing that it might even end up on their head, and it'd just be overwhelming them. So think about that. That's a challenge for you and me. That's why I felt like last week when I shared the message about being eager to do good, I think we all resonated with that. We took a little bit away. But I felt like God wants to just go a little bit deeper on that one. That's easy to do to people we know. Easy to do people that we like. Easy to do people in this church. Easy to do with family. But to do it to somebody that is mean to you or doesn't like you or is harsh to you, think about the best thing you could do for them. Man, that would be a lot of fun. This is what it's trying to teach us here to do. So let's look at another context about that same kind of theme here. Let's just go back a couple books. Let's go to Matthew. In Matthew chapter 5, speaking of water, listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 5, starting in verse 33. You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's what it is being said or taught at that time in history. I think there's even still some of that being taught today. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. That's a big call. That's a big expectation. Be perfect. And when I think about that word and we kind of start fleshing it out, think about it this way. In our characteristic, in our holiness, in our maturity, and in our love, be perfect in those areas. Because we're not going to be perfect. We're flawless. We're going to make mistakes. But in our Christ love, in our Christ likeness, be perfect in those areas. I think the worst thing that we could do to ourselves, just as an individual, you'll resonate with this, you as a person, I don't know this information, but as you grow in your Christianity, as you get what we call closer to Christ, as we grow up in the Word, is that when you first get saved, we look at it this way. You're just a baby. Wham, wham, you're in diapers. You need milk. Yum, yum, yum. Right? Just keep it simple. Because you know that you used to live in the way of the world, which was very sinful. And you're like, oh my gosh, I've come to the Word of God now. This is a tall order. And then you realize, oops, oops, oops. You keep stumbling on the way. The worst thing you can do is say, oh, I give up. No chance for me. Because when you're new and you're a Christian, you know, you just got saved, There's lots to grow into. You got to fit into those shoes as you get older. You got to get out of those diapers. You got to get away from the milk. You got to get the solid food. So don't be so harsh on yourself, because you can't be perfect. But as you grow up, start growing up. You're a child now. You know, I can run around now. You know, as a baby, you're like, get your own soother. What's wrong with you? You know, they can't get a soother. You know, as kids try to do that, it's hard. But as you get older, you say, get rid of that soother. Now stop that. You know, like, don't stop wearing those diapers. You know, as you get older, you start becoming a teenager. Do your own laundry. Make your own sandwich. You know, do your own whatever. Like, get to mow the grass too. It's getting long out there. Come on, chip in. What are you, you know? You're making money now? You should chip in too. You're eating so much, for crying out loud. You know, you start maturing, right? And when you're a young adult, again, the expectations change as you go along. So be perfect in equivalence, or the ability that you are in, or your spiritual growth. Don't beat yourself up. It's the worst thing you can do. The enemy wants to do that. He's doing that all day long for you. Piece of cake. Don't join that bandwagon and beat yourself up as well. God is asking you to be perfect in areas of spirituality. Leave the past behind. Be perfect in this area of your mind and your thinking. Love people. Love your enemies. These are the areas God is asking of us. Again, don't be so hard on yourself. God loves you, for crying out loud, because he even loves his enemies. Like, let's look at this together. So let's jump ahead a couple books to Luke chapter 6. So again, we're talking about the theme about loving our enemies, doing good to all people. And Luke wants to speak about that too. So here we go. Luke chapter 6, verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on the cheek, I'm not feeling that, turn to him the other one also. Someone takes your cloak, don't stop him from taking your tunic as well. Like, just let him have all your clothes. Give to everyone who asks, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. I got to pause right there, because I just had this really fun thought last night as I was preparing for this. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. So to be Christ-like, you could just go to your buddy's house, take what belongs to him, and say, I'm just following the Bible. Isn't that a cool thought? I give you permission to do that. No, I'm joking. Just be careful now. Just be gentle. But if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. It's so easy to do good and be a blessing to each other when we're on the same page. If you lend to those from whom you expect to get repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But all of this, here we go, recapping, therefore, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. If you do that, then this will happen. Your reward will be great. And, oh, it even gets better. There's like icing and whipped cream and a cherry on top, and you will be the sons of the Most High, praise God, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. To love your enemies, that's what God is like, is what he's saying here. Kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to the ungrateful. God is kind to the wicked. And we are sons and daughters of God, and we want to be like that as well. God has called us to be Christ-like, not the judge or something like that. He wants us to love people. Be merciful, again, in verse 36, just like it said in the previous scripture. Just as your fathers must be perfect, be merciful, all those kinds of wonderful things. So, why is that so important? There are so many denominations, there's so many religions, there's so many opportunities to be spiritual in this world. I think most of them have an overarching theme or message or try an explanation of how to live life and where we came from, all that kind of stuff. But the Word of God and Christianity, it stands alone. It stands in stark contrast to most religions, to the religion of the world, because it's so radically different. No other denomination, biblical, religious stance will say to love your enemy. No one does that. That's why it's so important to us to understand that. Why is it so important? What can we take away from this? Because if we lived in a society where everyone believed in this? Where would violence live? Where would revenge live? Where would divisions and separations and classes live? That they just wouldn't survive because we'd follow this thing right to a T. It would be so radically different. I would love to live in a place like that where property and possessions really don't mean much because we'd be so concerned about our neighbor. We'd be so concerned about the welfare of others that possessions would have no value at all. I'd love to live in a place like that. This is how Jesus lived his life. And that's why so many people flocked to Jesus when he walked on this earth. Just crowds of people came around Jesus because it was so in stark contrast to the way everything else was being done. And so we're supposed to live that way. Jesus' whole life was one of exuberant generosity. He gave to all, to everyone who needed. As Jesus was being struck on the cheek and his clothes being ripped off and his shirt being torn and him being whipped, he went out loving and forgiving them. Do you remember the story? It's just one of the shortest verses, easiest to memorize in the Bible. When Jesus came and he knew he was going to the cross and he looked at Jerusalem, it says that he wept in Jesus' name. As we were going through the message of the singing this morning, the songs, and then Amelie got up to speak, I just pictured that. Jesus wept, man. He didn't weep for the believers. He wept for the unbelievers. He said, God, there's some people there that are going to hate me. They're going to crucify me. But he was so loving in that moment. Anger and frustration was gone. He just loved people, and that's what we're supposed to be like. That's a tall order. That's a big ask. And so Jesus said, please, God, forgive them. I love that in Scripture. I don't know if it needed to be there for any other reason but for us to realize that as Jesus is hanging there, he's watching people beat him and spit on him and crucify him. He said, please forgive him. Because we need to know that. We need to hear that. We need to be reminded of that. When those things happen to us, we need to say, please forgive them. Those are the thoughts that should go through our head. Jesus not only showed it to his friends, but to his enemies. Again, weeping over those that rejected him. God, please forgive them for what they're doing. So what are kind of some takeaways from this? What are maybe some applications or some things that we could take away from a message like this? There's two astonishing instructions that come out of this. First of all, I love the simplicity of Scripture. I'm just a simple guy. I love fishing, I love golfing, I love eating food, and I love sleeping. It's brilliant stuff. Keep it simple. Don't get overcomplicated. But here's one of the first things that we can tell you. It's simple, it's obvious, it's clear, it's direct. Love people, love all people, love your enemies. Got to do it all. Second thing is, how many people do you know that are like this? How many people have you encountered in life that live like this? You know their names. You can remember them right now. They're radically different. And so we don't want to, you know, look to those people to be our example. Like we look to Christ, and Christ was an example in them, and that's what attracted us to them. So we don't want to glorify them. We want to glorify God. But these kind of people are radically different. I want it to be a church. I want to be part of a religion or Christianity that's like that. Wouldn't that be fun? There's a bunch of them in this room today, and we need more of them. And so I hope that you would want to sign up for something like that. How many communities do you know where these guidelines and rules of life are followed? I wonder what's gone wrong. I wonder, has God changed? Or have we forgotten who he really is? I think that's our problem. We've really forgotten about who God really is, about what this is really asking of us, about how we are to live our lives every single moment of every single day, and how we treat people. I think that's got to be key for us. So we've got to come back to that realization. So when God asked me, I really felt again to speak on this. So eager to do good last week, I think was a lot of fun. But I think there's another layer to that. I think there's a deeper truth to that. And I think I might even have to speak a bit more about this next week. But to understand who God is, who he really is, the kind of God that you and I serve, I think when people discover that sort of God is who they're dealing with, they may be more open to making this way of life their own. They may be more open to like, I think I want that kind of God in my life because that seems very attractive. That seems very cool. Let us model what it means to be godly. That's what God was asking of us, to be perfect, to be merciful. by asking for forgiveness when we make mistakes and living in a manner that's fundamentally different, just radically different than the world. And that's what it says here in Proverbs, doesn't it? If your enemy, man, you could do as much research as you want on that word enemy. I mean, you could put all kinds of words in there. Is hungry, then give him something to eat. Man, if he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And as you do that, again, don't think about it as a negative concept. As you do that, you are showing them overwhelming generosity by heaping coals, by just being overly exuberantly generous, by loving on them. And then what will happen as a result of that? I don't do these things, I don't preach these kind of things so that you and I can get rewarded. That's the wrong model, right? Hey, guys, let's get together and do a bunch of stuff so that we know in the end we'll be totally loaded. We'll be super rich in heaven. Oh, yeah. You know, our foundation will be so big. It'll be just a big old mansion. No, like, please don't hear that. God says that he will reward you for doing that, but don't let that be your motive. But I do want to think about that just for a second. When I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, when we get to heaven, I don't want it to be like a Yukon stick-built, you know, outhouse, because that's only how big the trees get up there. I want something like the kind of the old big old, you know, cedars and big old timbers that you can make a big old house out of down here because of the reward that we get. I don't want an earthly reward. I don't want a big old house here and a big TV and all that kind of stuff. I want God to say to you, you know, like, well done with what I gave you. And here's the reward because of what you did. That's where it matters. It doesn't matter here. I want a reward where it matters. I want a reward where it belongs. I want a reward where nothing can influence that or mess with that. And so it doesn't just come easy, though, as if any reward is easy, right? Any kind of scheme email that you get, oh, you want $1 billion, just click here. Yeah, pff, yeah, right. It just doesn't work like that. It actually takes effort. It takes work. Loving your enemies will take some work. But I know you. You want to do the hard work. You want to go the distance. You want to love those people. You want to see them finish well. You want to see them succeed. You want to see them know the kind of God that you know deep inside your heart. So pray that that would happen in Jesus' name. Let's just spend a moment in prayer. So God, it's such a privilege to serve you. God, thank you for saving us. Thank you for setting our feet on a firm foundation of your word. And Father, I pray for truth to resonate deep within our hearts. I pray the truth of your word would penetrate deep into those areas where they need to be. Lord, I thank you that we can stand here in awe and expectation of the things that you've already done, the things you are going to do. Lord, you're so good. You're so wonderful. God, we love you. We love you. We love you. But I don't even think our words could elaborate how much you care. I love how your word says that you showed emotion and you wept over us, wept over people. And so we can connect with that. We can feel that emotion. But God, I know it's so much deeper than that. I know it's so much grander than that, how much you care for us. And I pray that we would just get a glimpse of that in Jesus' name. I know that it would fill us. I know that it would spur us on. And so thank you for doing that. Lord, this week, today, this month, whatever that looks like, you're going to give us these moments, these divine moments, or we're going to run into somebody, our situation is going to be presented to us. And I pray in Jesus' name that our negative emotions would be put in check, that we'd be able to put off our anger and our frustration and worry, and we'd be able to see clearly a good emotion. How can I do the best thing for this person? How can I show them the love of Christ that they need right now? In a small, gentle way, whatever that looks like, Lord, we thank you for it. Looking forward to the testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.